Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
So do the ring crew just load that into the vans after a show and just like, take us in there, leave some crisps nearby if you get hungry in the night.
The boyhood dream has come true.
All of you, stop to me.
You're about to find out how ugly mankind can really be.
Myself and the clique are going to dance all over your face.
Talk about your Psalms. Talk about John 3:16. Austin 3:16 says I just whipped your ass.
Welcome everyone to the Cultaholic Classic Raw Review as the other Cultaholic lads are getting primed with their Factor 50 for a summer slam. We are here via the Ica Pro Power DeLorean back in the heady early 1996, getting ready for the boyhood dream to come true in the midst of some weird wrestling. And who be we doing that? I be Fake Geordie, radio presenter without portfolio, joined by, from cultaholic.com, the rambunctious Jackie Orlando. It's Jackins, the mulligan to my O'Hare. Hello, friend.
Today, I'm dressed like everyone's favourite Beach Boy, Mike Love, as well.
You are very denim-y today.
Yeah, yeah.
That's a lot of denim. Are you wearing jeans as well?
No, I'm wearing shell pants. I've gone full 90s.
Shell pants and denim.
Yeah.
That your poor old grandma had to sweat to buy you.
Is that the name of our new detective duo?
Shell pants and denim. Crime fighting duo. Nice choice on the denim.
Thanks.
It's coming back, I think, denim.
Yeah.
I don't think it ever truly went away.
No,
it's denim on top.
It's a robust fabric.
That it is. Invented by Levi Strauss.
Good old Levi Strauss.
Good old Levi. How are you?
All right.
You didn't seem too sure.
Just been one of them recently.
It has, isn't it?
Yeah, I ended up going up a big hill in Middlesbrough on Saturday because Sean was like, you're getting on my nerves, you big miserable bastard, let's go up a hill. I was like, yeah.
Was it Rosebery Topping?
It was Rosebery Topping.
Rosebery Coughing.
The funny thing was, like, I've got all the gear, no idea. But Sean's like done like Snowden and stuff before. So I thought, all right, Sean, this would be great. And we get to it and I'm basically running up it and she's at the bottom saying, oh, I think I've got asthma. And I was like, ooh, Mrs. I've been up Snowden, given it the big I am, and I couldn't have picked someone worse to go up incline with.
Were you just being grumpy then? Was it just a case of you were feeling a bit on the grumpy side, so you went, come on, let's go up a hill?
Pretty much.
Because I think there must be something. It must be like a dark moon rising or something like that at the moment, because I've been in a weird sort of place with stuff like that.
Yeah.
But Alex has as well. Like something in the air at the moment I'm not a fan of.
I think it's the general state of things. Like the camera freezing.
Like the camera freezing, which is a great example. That's quite a nice little picture for it to freeze on.
Lovely.
If you're watching live, there you go.
Yeah, I think it's just the general state of things. The fact that we're in a hellscape at the moment and just...
Yeah, feels like that's been the way for a good long while.
Mm.
And it kind of comes and goes. I don't know whether sometimes I just forget that we're in a hellscape
and
we crack on.
But we need something funny, like, you know, a dog stealing a car or something to brighten up the day.
Or a cat going missing.
Yeah.
Oh.
How is he? I see your arms haven't healed fully yet.
If you're watching on the Patreon, sorry for the shonky camera once again. It will fix itself in a minute. But you'll see I've got... It's much better. Actually, it's much better than it was on Thursday morning.
You look like Sabu.
I do look like Sabu. I've been in quite the war. If you haven't heard this story yet, then strap in. If you have, then spin on. we talk a lot about Pablo on this podcast, as we talk about Louis as well and Poppy. But Pablo is an indoor cat.
Mm.
And there's lots of merits to be had with an indoor cat. Like, you know, they live longer. You can keep them entertained for the sake of, like, you know, some nice windows and games and stuff to play. And I think the argument will always rage between people who have indoor cats, people who have outdoor cats.
Yeah.
Like Poppy and Louie are indoor cats, aren't
they're
they?
Indoor cats, yeah.
Yeah, and they're fine.
Yeah, yeah.
They're fine. But I think Alex and I were always a little bit concerned that, oh, is he getting bored? Because, you know, during the day we're at work, so he's on his Todd. We've considered bringing in another cat. But his general reaction to other cats has been, fuck off. which makes us think another cat probably isn't the solution.
Yeah.
But maybe. And then we saw that quite a few people were talking about the merits online of walking their cats, putting a little lead on them and taking them for a walk. Which is the general look, and that's most reactions to it.
We have got a harness for Louis, so we've entertained the idea as well.
So the thing is, we tried the harness with Pablo, and the screen is frozen again. Sorry about this on the Patreon. I apologize. What shonky service you get? I like how press a button, we disappear like ghosts. That's literally something that only video people can enjoy. It's just noise to everybody else.
Yeah.
But thing is, we tried the harness with him and he played up when we put the harness on.
Hmm.
Like, he acted like it weighed like 1,000 tons and like we just sloped in the middle going, Dad, this is rubbish. I can't work in these conditions. Except he put Dreams on the other side of the room. So, oh, it's light. It's fine. So we tried with a collar and a lead. And that was a mistake. First couple of times was fine.
Yeah.
Fine. In fact, the first couple of times, I met fellow cat owners who were walking their cats.
Bollocks, were you? Really?
I did. Because we only really walked in around sort of the area that we live in, like the estate that we live in. And I met people walking their cats. And I was like, hey. So Pablo got to meet other cats and go, fuck off. It's always good. And on the day in question, we met another cat owner, and I was talking about, we were talking about like the merits of taking them for walks and stuff like that. And I turn to carry on my walk, and he gets, by this point, the lady I'd spoken to had gone in with her cat. Pablo gets spooked by somebody going out for a jog.
Fucking joggers.
Joggers. And he runs off. But in doing so, he's pulled himself off the collar, and he's gone. Dashed away. You can't catch a cat not on a leash.
No.
It's impossible. I tried. Lord, I tried. And there was a particular hedge when we were on our walk. There was a particular hedge that he'd taken quite a shine to. I guess there was something in there that he liked the sniff of. And as I would discover later on, there was like loads of bird feathers in there. So presumably a bird had either taken a nest there or been mauled there. So it's like, And I know he liked it because if I pulled him away from it, he was like, Rah! When he was on the lead,
yeah.
He's like, no, you can't go in there because I can't follow you in. Anyway, off the lead, you remember, oh, now is my time. Whoa, into the hedge. And presumably, as I jumped into the hedge behind him, couldn't see him, big gap in the fence to the right, which leads into the woods. So I was like, oh no. So I'm calling him and I'm just stressing. And Alex comes downstairs and we're looking through, I'm crawling through this hedge. I'm crawling on my hands and knees through this edge and I can't see him. And I'm like, I bet he's in the woodland area behind. I bet he's found a little bit there. And this cable, I am so sorry. There we go. I might just have to... I wonder if it's the table. If I move the table away. Because something's catching on the cable that connects the camera to us. But anyway.
Table on a cable.
Yeah. The label. So Alex is out to look for him and I think, oh God, he's gone to the woodland area. So I sort of find my way in and this is just like, it's nettles and brambles and it's all on a bank. So I'm just, but when like, I'm thinking like, he's just gone. Every second's counting. I've just got to get on with it.
Yeah.
So I'm just jumping through and nothing. I go onto the Facebook page for where we live and I just put just a heads up. Our boy Pablo's just come off the lead and he's gone missing. If you could keep an eye out for him, because I'm thinking, has he gone under a car for warmth? Is he, you know, has he turned up at somebody else's house?
Yeah.
And you know what? I forever believe in the goodness of people because about 8 people came out from the estate.
Yeah.
Came over and said, we want to help you look for him. I was like, oh, wow, thank you. So if you can look around there and I'll go back into the woods here. And we had like a little search party for the boy for a good hour or so, and we couldn't find him. There was a sighting very briefly. Our neighbour caught a glance of him in the woodland area, like looking up,
seeing his eyes beaming through like some thick hedge. And then Alex heard him meow.
Yeah.
But then we couldn't see him again. But like, well, okay, well, he's in the area still, so that's good. And then it just, and then nothing, nothing again. He's in the area.
Sounds like the Hunt for Raoul moat.
Then Gazza turned up with a fishing rod and some chicken.
And he's like, if chicken won't get Pablo out the woods, fuck off.
And so we still hadn't found Moti. It's getting to, the sun's gone down. Alex is just in bits. Mm. And I am, internally I am, but I'm like, I've just got to suck this up, put a cup, because if I'm getting upset as well, then no one's getting anything done.
Yeah.
So Alex is in bits because immediately your brain goes to the worst case scenario. He's been hit by a car. Fox has got him. People are scared of black cats. Kids are shit. Like, yeah. you're thinking all the way, he's climbing somebody's car and they're going for a late night drive. And it's like, all the worst things happen in your head. And you've got to go, no, you can't. Why is the worst thing more likely than the best thing?
Yeah.
Let's try and think of it like that. But unfortunately, the search party had to dissipate and they had to go on their way. But, you know, how lovely that they all came out as long as they did. And I was sat in the woods, just in a bit of a state, and I was going through my phone like, what to do if your cat goes missing, and somebody had said, bring out his cat food with his favorite cat food in it, fill the bowl all the way up, and then get their litter tray, maybe a toy and something that smells like you, because the cat's sense of smell you must never doubt,
yeah,
because it's phenomenal. So what I ended up doing was, okay, I'll go and get that. But I originally put it in the woods and I was waiting near it and he never turned up. And it's now, quarter to midnight? I'm still out looking. And I message Adam. I don't know why I messaged Adam Pachisi from our place. Because he messaged me something about the news for the next morning. And I think I said something like, I might be in a bit late. Pablo's got out and I'm just out looking for him. And I'd like to have I'm about to knock it on the head, but I'll go have a look. At daybreak. And Adam, bless him, he went, whereabouts are you? I'll jump in a taxi and come get your hand. I was like, honestly, mate, it's 12:00 PM, don't worry about it. He said, no, I'll be there in 10 minutes. And bless him, our boss turned up.
Yeah.
Just before midnight.
He might be what I described as a comedy terrorist, but he's a lovely lad.
He's the best. Yeah. He's absolutely the best. And he turned up and I was like, right, what do you want me to do? I said, I'll tell you what, I'm going to go back into the woods here. If you could go and look under cars and stuff like that, that'd be great. And still nothing. But I ended up at that point thinking, well, I want to be somewhere where I can potentially see if he comes out. So I got his food bowl, I got his litter tray, which I'd put in the wooded bit where I was sat like a weird hobo. Put it back over the fence. Oh, by the way, we've got a comically high fence. One that Pablo, when I was out for a walk, had attempted to scale by jumping, banged his head on it, and then just sort of walked off, styling it out like meant to do that. But the quickest way from like over from where we live to the wooded area is to climb over the fence. Mm. I think maybe I put my hands in the lap of the gods, my luck in the lap of the gods 4 times as I scaled this fence. Can't have been pretty for anybody watching it. Oh, not once did I fall and break my coccyx. I did trip twice on the embankment in the woods. And at one point, I thought I was unconscious, but I'm not sure. I might have been. Alex, who was watching from the balcony, said, I saw you slip. And I must admit, I was on the phone to my sister. And just, it was the worst time. My chest was going off. She's been a bit poorly this week. She said, my chest was bad. I was afraid of my sister. Honestly, seeing you fall over was probably the closest I came to a laugh that day. I was like, well, you're welcome. Alex had gone to bed and I said, look, go get some rest. It's no good both of us being up through the night. You rest up and then we can do whatever in the morning. Adam's coming here now. And Alex had gone to sleep. And I put his food out and his litter out and his cat tree. And then I put my shirt on the floor as well near where my balcony, where I can look down. And I thought, if he comes out, then at least I can see. And Adam, bless him, has said, you go get some. This is now 2 AM. And Adam says, look, you go get some rest. I'll stick around for another hour or so, see if I can see him. That's really kind. I went upstairs to make him a coffee. And I just have a little look over the balcony and just go, oh, come on, mate, where are you? And the little prick the little shit emerges from the hedge near the front door. Not in the woods. Not on the building site, 100 meters away, where I thought he might have climbed into a cement mixer. Not near the train tracks. Not between the wire fence and the wooden fence that I had crawled through like Metal Gear Solid. The hedge near our front door. Oh, food. And just walks over to say, you. But delighted at the same time. So I run downstairs. By this point, I was kind of getting out of my dirty clothes. But I saw him and I thought, oh, God, I've got to get down there now. What's on the dryer? I just grabbed like some shorts and like a jacket that went over the top of it. I looked like I was going to a weird gig. Ran downstairs. And there he is having his food. And I just got Adam, he's here. And Adam's climbed over this wall because he was looking around the other side of this wall, bless him. Adam's climbed over the wall and we see him. And Pablo just, he looks like he's had a night of it. Like, you know when a cat is stressed?
Yeah.
Because, like, their back's all the way up. Their tails are all poofed
out. They're fat, aren't they? Yeah.
Yeah, they make themselves as big as possible to alert, you know, people. And he's seen me and he's just, whoa. And I'm like, hey, buddy, hey. Come here. And I'm shaking dreamies. I'm down on this level. And he's like, he's not. And he goes, okay, round two. Runs off again.
Twat.
Little twat. Back through the same hole that he ran through before in the hedge. And out of sight. And I said to Adam, I said, the thing is, at least we know he's all right.
Yeah.
He's stressed, but he's around. And he hasn't gone off into, he hasn't got a train to Germany or something. Like, he's nearby.
That's what I say about you in the office. He's stressed, but he's all right.
He's stressed, but he's nearby. At that point, I realised, okay, I think I know how this is going to go. I said to Adam, I think I know how this is going to go. He normally about 4:30, my alarm goes off in the morning.
Mm.
So normally, if I'm not out of bed at 4:30, like about 4:40, he's floating around the bed, you know, scratching on the blinds in the bedroom. Just come on, dickhead, hungry now. So I reckon about 4:30, he's going to reemerge because he's going to want some more food. Because in internal clock.
Yeah.
So we wait for a couple more hours and we sort of keep looking around, but we're just cautious of hedges near where the front door is. And then, like, almost to the minute, 4:30, out of the hedge. Hello? How have you got there again, I'm thinking? Like, how about, you've got like a little series of underground tunnels that get you back to the start where we can't see you. Like, we've been looking for you. We haven't seen how you've gone from over that side of the complex to this side.
Yeah.
A sneaky bugger. So then I say, right, Adam, okay, because he's gonna go again. I know he's gonna run off again. So I said, Adam, if you wait here, I will go the other side. So then if he runs off towards the hedge, I can pick him up as he does so.
Mm.
And I go over to the hedge and I get my coat. I've got this big coat on all night and I've taken it off and I've covered the hole in the hedge. Like, you're not running through that again, you little prick. By which point, Adam has rung me and gone, I've got him. I was like, oh, what? And I'll go over. So basically what's happened is Pablo hasn't seen that we've got this little cordoned off area, but he's had a bit of food and he's seen Adam. He must recognise Adam or something. Or he just seen a human. He's just walked over, just flopped down and just gone, I'm tired now. Just easily Adam just picked him up.
Wow.
Took him inside.
Yeah.
And I ran and saw, and there's Adam holding him inside the building now. So like, if he decides to get away again, he ain't going far. And I've never known, I've been very lucky that I've not known a whole lot of loss or anything like that in my life. I haven't known much and I've done so well to get to 38 and say that I've known some and it's heartbreaking, but I've never felt such love and hate at the same time as I did for that cat after being up all night. Like, not an exaggeration, all night. We got off the lead about 6:30 in the evening and this is now probably like 4:45. All night, I have not felt the love and hate simultaneously that I had for this cat. And it was quite a nice feeling to see Alex again, who had gone to bed and she was in bits. And she posted on all these Facebook pages, keep an eye out for this cat. And I just turned the light on in the bedroom and she woke up and there he was. He jumped on the bed. It's just like... And so big love to Adam.
Yeah.
Who, oh God, I think, yeah, had he not come over, I probably would have called off the search for the night.
Yeah.
So the fact that he did come over made me go, okay, I'm going to stay out longer.
Yeah.
And it meant that he came back.
Nice.
And we're not walking him again. Are we bollocks walking him again?
No.
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 He's an indoor cat now.
I'm not surprised at all.
Not at all.
Well, that's a nice return to form for Adam Pacitti, because I don't know if it's been disclosed about what he did at the staff party. So,
okay, let's bury him quickly.
So we had a summer party,
and
Adam was just like, right, I've booked a caravan park in Whitley Bay because it's Pacitti. It's the most Pacitti thing ever. He's like, yeah,
very Pacitti thing. They all did karaoke, and I saw the clip of Ross doing "Don't Let the Sun Go Down on Me."
Yeah, the bastard. Because I said we've been planning that all week. I said, do you want to be George Michael or Elton John? And he said, it even said on the karaoke, like, part of it, it even had, ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Elton John.
Oh.
So I think he did both, but I'd well gone by, but me and you had fucked up.
We'd gone by then.
Me, you and Aidan Gibbons had jumped in an Uber and gone. But you went into a concerned mother mode, because at one point you said to me, have you had any food? Have you had any food? And I had to say to you, Tom, you watch me eat two burgers and a hot dog?
I don't remember doing that.
Yeah, and...
I spilled coleslaw on your shoe. I remember doing that.
That's the only time in my life I've been slightly angry with you.
Yeah, you were furious. I thought you were going to punch me.
Yeah, because, right...
And rightly so.
For video viewers, right, so there was like a coleslaw station, and I'd taken my shoes off, as had Matthew, and put them there. So people were putting coleslaw on the plates. Rather than take their plate to the coleslaw and then bring it up the spoon...
The mountain won't come to Muhammad.
Well, exactly. Tom instead puts his plate as far as he can as possible, gets a big spoon of coleslaw and flicks it like he's fucking Kandinsky. And it goes on both of my trainers. And of all the people in this company, you don't want to get coleslaw on their shoes.
Yeah.
It's me. And I just went, Tom, both shoes.
I think you made the mistake of leaving your shoes on the floor.
Well, I didn't expect anyone to start flinging coleslaw around a caravan.
Well...
I cleaned them, they were fine.
That's your mistake.
But just in that moment, I was just like, Tom, you are an agent of chaos.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think you could be an agent of chaos.
I did, but I wanted to call you an arse.
and again, rightly so. Rightly so.
But like I said, cleaned them up, they were fine.
It
but
was
just
fine.
For that split second, I was just like, I can't believe this.
If you ever want to really get the dander up of Jackie Orlando, put coleslaw on his shoes. If there was ever a lesson to learn.
I mean... I love Tom, so we got away with taking off. If anyone puts coleslaw on my shoes, I'll break your fingers.
Very true. Mm. I got off lightly with a very angry ticking off. Imagine if somebody he didn't like had done it. Jeez. I wonder whether you stole my cat just for a couple of hours. Like, just to teach.
I'm having that cat.
I did actually, you know what? Karma meant that I did ruin a pair of shoes looking for him. I've had to chuck out a pair of shoes.
I could have cleaned them for you.
No, not these. They were dumb.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. There's a hole in one of them at one point. I think I lost a good outfit climbing through hedges. But God bless Adam Pacitti, the other
one. Oh, yeah. Going around full circle. I'm glad Pablo's home. I'm glad you're all right.
I'm fine.
I'm glad you've had a few days to rest.
the adrenaline. I remember on the morning at about 9 a.m. because I stayed up. And then as Adam went home, I said, I'll put the news together for the morning. Because now the cat's back, I should do some work, really.
Yeah.
So I did, and then I thought I'll have 45 minutes sleep on the sofa before I have to then go and start the day.
Yeah.
I woke up after 45 minutes and, oh my God, the pain. Oh my, the adrenaline had completely worn off, and I was just like, everything hurts. Like, all this was red and angry. All my bones have been hurting ever since, clambering up the side of the wooded area and stuff like that.
So what evening? What evening was it that he went?
Wednesday evening, and then we found him basically Thursday morning.
Okay, yeah.
So
yeah, because it was the Thursday that there was no one in, wasn't there?
Mm.
Because after me being the trendsetter, every fucker got COVID.
Not
because of me. This was just completely unrelated. I got it, and then like 3 weeks later, everyone else got it. So Thursday.
You'll have seen by the Cultaholic podcast that we're snake bit. We're like the AEW roster.
Honestly, I was actually on reserve. And I said to Ross, I was like, I've only watched Forbidden Door this week, just to let you know. And he was like, doesn't matter. We're thin on the ground. If anyone else drops, you're in.
That's how things were on that Thursday. Thursday and the Friday. It was just every it felt like every other hour somebody was going, yeah, I can't come in, I've got COVID.
Yeah, I just worked from home on the Friday, thought, fuck it, there's gonna be no one in.
I ain't going in that Petri dish.
I think it was literally in the upstairs office, it was just Alex and Fraser on the Friday. Maybe James Jenkins.
Yeah, because I booked off the Friday because I was doing stuff at BBC Newcastle all day.
Yeah.
So I booked the Friday off anyway. And I couldn't do Thursday afternoon because I was doing stuff at BBC Newcastle then as well. So we were just like snake bit.
Oh God,
to the nth degree.
Well, I mean, on the date of recording, when this goes out, will be like 2 hours after we finish recording because we didn't record last week, did we?
Yeah,
we pushed,
that was it.
Pushed it forward.
So you're here, literally, as you're hearing this, we recorded it just a few hours ago.
So I'm
fresh.
I'm still dressed like the twat of the Beach Boys.
And I'm still dressed like a twat at the beach.
Hey!
In a t-shirt that I've now worn 3 days straight. But I really like it.
There's no odor, so it's fine.
It's fine. It smells fine. I really like it. So I've worn it. I've changed the outfit slightly each time.
Yeah.
So I've worn it buttoned up and now I'm wearing it with a white shirt underneath to bring it to create a whole new ensemble.
Like Colin Farrell in Bruges.
Yeah, that's a good shout.
Yeah.
Good film, that.
Very good film. Very good film.
Good film.
Grim film, but very good.
It's grim, but I really like it.
Yeah, me too.
In terms of things to watch, I'm very excited because tonight, because like last week was just a write-off for Alex and I due to illness and other things. Like we're all fine now, obviously in the cat, and that, but we just had a real rough week last week for a number of reasons. So the plan is today for Monday. I said, look, I really want to watch Only Murders in the Building season 2 on Disney Plus. And she said, why don't we just have an early night and put the telly in the bedroom? Because we don't have a telly in our bedroom. And that's by design. Because otherwise
yeah,
we just
same,
watch
same.
Telly in the bedroom all the time. So we just look at our phones instead. Worked out well, didn't it? So I think we're going to have a night where we just go to bed early and watch Only Murders in the Building.
Ooh.
And I'm perfectly fine with that.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Perfectly fine with that. I just feel very frayed around the edges starting this week. So I had like a nice delicate start to the week watching some Steve Martin.
I might put that on later then because I've given up on all the Marvel and Star Wars stuff because I want to watch other stuff as much as I love both of them. So we just watched the first series of Wu-Tang Clan and American Saga on Disney Plus.
Nice.
If you like hip hop and you're down with the woo, that's the whitest thing I've ever said. Yeah, it's good. But
I hear they're nothing to fuck with.
They are nothing to fuck with. But the thing is, there's two series and I was like, oh great, only the first one's on Disney Plus and it ends on a good bit. It's like, oh, so I think a couple of months and it'll be out, but it's good if you like your hip-hop history.
That's a good viewer. And how about your wrestling history? That's why we're here.
About time. I mean, we've gone over the stuff that people actually come here for, so Cat Chat and Jamal. And
people have heard different lengths of the story of Pablo, so I thought I'd save the long-form version for this.
Well, yeah, because I think I just saw, when I did see you last week, I was like, you're all right, and you're like, yeah.
I came in on Thursday morning and I was just like, yes, I think I'm all right.
I was like, I'll leave Tom to it today. He was like, I'll hear all about it when he's ready to tell.
I'm just going to just sit quietly for a bit and just contemplate existence. So we're back February the 19th, 1996 on the road to WrestleMania 12. Your number one movie in the UK on this date in 96 is Jumanji.
Oh!
Still a banger. Great film. Board games available in Waterstones now. Mm-hmm. Along with the Queen's Gambit, Queen's Ransom? What's the Netflix series? The
Queen's Gambit? What, so just a chess set?
Yeah, Queen's Gambit, the board game. And I was like, so chess then? But no, it's chess with extra steps, apparently.
Oh.
Yeah, I know, because we really needed chess with extra steps.
Oh,
that's a thing. But Jumanji the board game is available now. Should you be brave enough to play it? Number one US movie is Broken Arrow.
Never seen it.
John Travolta and Christian Slater.
I like Christian Slater. Whatever happened to him? He just kind of...
just sort of disappeared off the surface of the earth, didn't he? Yeah. It's the film's main themes, according to Wikipedia. The theft of two American nuclear weapons, the attempt of U.S. military authorities to recover them, and the feud between Travolta and Slater. The film was a commercial success despite mixed reviews.
Just sounds like 90s Top Gun, really, doesn't it?
Basically, yeah. Number one on the UK music charts, still Babylon Zoo's banger, Spaceman.
Fucking yeah.
And number one in the US charts, still Mariah Carey's banger, One Sweet Day. Still hanging. Jeez, the time.
Yeah.
This is spent in the charts. It's incredible. It was on this particular date, February 19th, in 1878, that Thomas Edison patented the phonograph.
Oh, well, well done, Thomas.
Thank you, Thomas. You gave HMV a reason to crack on. Thank you. It was on this day in 1996 that Howard Stern announced the Howard Stern Radio Network.
As a radio man, are you a Stern guy? Or have you ever dabbled with Stern? Because I know that the fans of Stern properly get into Stern.
I think he's great for radio. I think that he's not for everybody.
Yeah.
But I certainly see the importance of Howard Stern on the radio scene. Somebody that really pushed the boundaries and made radio must listen to. Absolutely, I'm for Howard Stern.
I've listened to bits and bobs because obviously it's not the same as it looking back, whereas now you expect people to be kind of like you said, pushing the boundaries and being arsehole-ish.
Mm.
But like I said, in the 90s, with this zeitgeist of everything changing and MTV putting on Beavis and Butthead and ECW rising and music getting more aggressive and Howard Stern being like, I'm getting me dick out on radio and there's a crackhead in the studio. I wish I could have been at the time to properly listen to it, because when I've tried, it's just a lot of in-jokes and the people who get it. But for me, I was just like, oh, he's got a great voice for radio. I can see what the appeal is, but I just can't.
There's nothing worse than discovering something, wanting to jump into it, but it's just full of in-jokes.
It's on, man.
As I was saying to my friend who works at Curly Whirly Man. The importance of the Howard Stern Radio Network must be addressed, because Howard Stern by this point was doing syndicated radio shows.
Yes.
So his show was so powerful. And I think there's been a few occasions of this before this, but certainly Howard Stern was the defining moment of it. His show was so big that radio stations would opt in to take his show, and that was how the things was made. The Howard Stern Radio Network, basically Howard Stern built a 24-hour schedule of presenters that he loved, that he gave the seal of approval to. And then radio stations that wanted to add something spicy to their network could opt in and out of the Howard Stern network to take different shows.
Yeah.
Alternatively, if they wanted to start a new station, they could just take the Howard Stern Radio Network wholesale, as that was another option too. But that was a big turning point in radio, because I think syndication and networking became quite a big thing after that. It still very much is now.
Yeah.
A lot of radio, you know, to burst the bubble, a lot of radio is syndicated and networked now. And that's just how it goes, you know. The reason I'm doing this job is because of syndication and networking being so darn easy.
Yeah.
That I was moved on from a previous job because of it. It's fine above it anyway. But yeah, I think this is a crucial week in the time of Howard Stern. 2 days after this episode of Raw aired, Sophie Turner, English actress, was born. She would go on to play Sansa Stark in Game of Thrones.
Hmm.
She was born 2 days after this episode of Raw. I don't think the two are connected.
No.
I don't think she was so excited for WrestleMania 12. She wanted to get out early. But she was. So that's all the real... You could tell it was light on the old real world news, because I dropped in Thomas Edison-based pants. But what about the wrestling world this week, Jack Atkins?
Well, right. Ravy Dave Meltzer, Wrestling Observer newsletter, dated February 27th, 1996. One of my favorite angles featuring one of my favorite wrestlers. Brian Pillman showed up in the ECW arena on February
17th.
Whoa. Fucking. The way it's great going back and seeing how Meltzer's written about it, because even he's kind of a bit like, oh. So, for the only initiated, obviously, you won't have gotten to this yet on WCW Nitro.
Not, we're a couple of weeks away from this particular bad boy.
So, they were pushing Pillman as the loose cannon of the Four Horsemen. He was becoming erratic. He was going slightly off script, but it was in the script for him to go off script. But they weren't telling anyone. It was basically him and Bischoff and Kevin Sullivan who were all in it. So, they were booked to do a I Respect You strap match between Sullivan and Pillman. And like 40 seconds into the match, because Sullivan was the booker, and Pillman gets to the mic and goes, I respect you, booker man, and it just fucks off.
Yeah.
And Arn Anderson comes out in his fucking Ralph Lauren shirt and a pair of shorts. He's like, we'll do the match then. And
I would like you to dress like Arn Anderson at that show for Halloween.
I would gladly dress like that. Sartorial bastard Arn Anderson. So... The plan was that ooh, they were going to kayfabe fire Pillman and then eventually bring him back after a few months, you know, send him to like ECW and Indies and, you know, get people talking, bring him back after a few months to be this massive star. So Pillman convinced Eric Bischoff. He said, we need to completely work the boys, we need to work everyone. Fire me for real. I'll be back in a few months. So we fired him for real, and he went, cool, right, see you later, dickheads, I'm going to ECW. So he turns up in the ECW arena, and obviously when he turns up and he's fucking swearing his head off, threatening to get his dick out.
I'm going to whip my Johnson out! Going to piss all over the...
It's amazing. So,
he was in character from the time he showed up in Philly, showing up at the ECW arena wearing a La Parka mask to hide the fact that it was Brian Pillman. And he pretended to only speak that he could only speak Japanese backstage. He's saying here, Pillman was in the ring, received an enormous babyface pop, which continued when he called the current WCW head Eric Jerkoff. Pillman then called the audience smart marks, and in an absurdity-laced interview that got most, but not all, of the audience to turn against him. Finally said that he was going to pull out his Johnson and piss all over the fans in the front row. Paul Heyman, Todd Gordon and Shane Douglas, who apparently was part of the decision-making team at this time, came out saying to Pillman it wasn't part of the deal. Pillman calling Heyman Booker Man. He did a worked attack on a fan with a fork and got hauled out of the building by the local security force, while Douglas, looking for a piece of him, never laid a hand on him. Pillman was then in character for the rest of the night at the hotel, swearing at fans. So then Dave puts it, Pillman was officially, or at least very publicly, fired by WCW on Thursday, although there are claims he's still on the payroll, as there are indications the company is going to great and even laughable lengths to try and get everyone to believe it's a shoot. It was a shoot. But the only person he knew was Brian Pillman.
Wow.
And he ends up a couple of months later in the WWF on the first ever guaranteed contract, doesn't he? He's amazing. I fucking love Brian Pillman.
Have you read Crazy Like a Fox?
No, I haven't.
Oh, I'll bring my copy in for you.
Yes, please. Because, yeah, it was on my Amazon list for ages, but the amount of books I bought and not read, I was like, right, I can't buy any. But I love Brian Pillman. He's so ahead of his time. And it's a shame... that we never got to see prime in-ring Pillman in WWF.
No, I
know. Because had he, regardless of his untimely passing, even if he would have just been healthy, a healthy, loose cannon, Brian Pillman would have been fucking brilliant.
Would have been unbelievable.
Yeah.
But that was an incredible night.
Yeah.
In Pillman. And you covered most of the stuff I was going to mention there from the book, the thing that he kept turning up in a La Parka mask, pretending he was Japanese. The fight with the fork, the attacking a fan with a fork and being dragged out. Oh, it's amazing. He goes, big shout to Liam O'Rourke, who wrote Crazy, my mate Liam, who wrote Crazy Like a Fox. It's an amazing book.
Yeah.
And it goes into great detail about all of that and loads of other stuff around Pillman in his time in wrestling.
Yeah.
Hogan's desire to work with Pillman in the weeks before this, because Hogan recognized, oh, Pillman's really hot, brother. Let's work with Pillman.
Yeah, and Hogan probably would have buried him.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Hey, he's really hot. Imagine how great it would be if I beat him.
Yeah. I mean, I know most of our listeners are old school wrestling heads, but if you never saw Pillman as prime, basically think the best of Dean Ambrose and the best of John Moxley together.
Nice.
And it's just, it comes close to Pillman. It was just, he was amazing.
Yeah.
I was a fan. I don't know if you could tell.
I can tell there's a bit of fandom.
Yeah.
He falling off you there somewhat.
So, different news. Over to the WWF. It was announced to be a tag team title tournament. Say that four times fast. Mm-hmm. It started on February 20th in Huntington on Superstars because there's been an injury to Billy Gunn, apparently. So, the first round matches were Body Donners versus Bushwhackers, Razor Ramon and Savio Vega versus the 1-2-3 Kid and Tatanka, Godwins versus Marty Jannetty and a mystery partner who will become the new Rockers, and Hikuchi and Barry Horowitz versus Owen Hart and Davey Man. The finals will be at WrestleMania during the pre-show, which is a surprise because it cheapens the tag titles to not even have the tournament finals make the pay-per-view show. WWE still do this.
Yeah, they're not fans of tag wrestling.
No.
Which is a shame because I'd argue that tag wrestling saved Money in the Bank to an extent on Saturday.
So I've been told, yeah, I need to catch up. I think the Usos are fantastic and what I've seen of Street Profits are really, really good.
Mm.
So yeah, I'll catch that if I've got any time.
They had a banger. Yeah, Billy Gunn's injury is a bit poorly timed because, you know, they were still quite well represented as the tag champs.
Yeah,
you know, they won the Raw Bowl. Heavens for Fenn back in January. So they have to address the tag situation. Then you kind of look and you realize, wow, it really is somewhat slim pickings. Body Donners, Bushwhackers.
Bushwhackers.
Ramon and Vega as a tag team for now. 1-2-3 Kid and Tatanka. Because I think they've just remembered. Oh, yeah, Tatanka. Feels like they've just remembered they had a Tatanka on the books.
Yeah.
And then that team of Hakushi and Barry Horowitz, which kind of goes against something we see on Raw this week.
Mm.
And then Owen and Davey Man, who seem the most obvious to win the whole thing. But spoiler, no. Mm. They have other plans for them for WrestleMania.
A couple of other bits. Johnny Ace sent a tape into WWF of a match where he and Steve Williams took on Misawa and Kobashi, which Johnny Ace's stuff in All Japan was fantastic. It's mad to think that he became
John Laurinaitis.
But he sent it into WWF. It's like, hey, I'm here, lads. Do you want this?
Any chance of a job?
WWF said, nah.
See you in about 5 years.
Yeah. Jeff Jarrett has suffered a serious back injury on February 17th in Memphis. He took a bump wrong against Ahmed Johnson.
No.
He was carried out of the ring and hospitalized. At the time of writing, he was out of the hospital, but no word on when he'll be back.
Oh, dear. Ahmed.
In Memphis, Undertaker, Razor Ramon, and Hunter Hearst Helmsley all no-showed. So they put Yokozuna instead of Undertaker against Goldust for the IC title. They were doing walkout finishes on the house shows to protect Goldust. Mm-hmm. They also had a triangular tag match where they allowed locals Tommy Rich and Doug Gilbert to go over both the Godwins and the Body Donners. So, and a little tidbit from Meltzer, he's like, it was kind of funny for Memphis to see Tex Slazenger on Wednesday and then Phineas Godwin on Saturday in the same arena as two different people.
Yeah, that's an because Tex Slazenger is Dennis Knight,
yep.
aka Phineas Godwin, and it's them seeing, you know, a similar gimmick in the same venue.
Yeah.
And, yeah, interesting one. Interesting why they put Rich and Gilbert over.
Yeah.
Must have just local pop.
Well, remember when they were doing the PG-13 stuff?
Yeah,
a little while ago, brought them in for a burst of props. They've seen them and thought, oh, let's see how they go with some of our established boys.
We don't know why they no-showed Taker, Ramon, and Helmsley. I can't imagine Undertaker just going, can't be asked, yeah. Bye. Ramon, I think we'll talk more about Razor Ramon as the show goes on. and then maybe sort of Helmsley by proxy could have been why. Wasn't there Ramon as well?
Potentially.
Yeah.
So I've got one last little bit of news before we dive in. Vader has signed a 2-year contract.
Yay!
The deal allows him to still work Japan. However, WWF must approve of any US indie dates. He's expected to start full-time on the road after WrestleMania. He injured himself at In Your House doing the run-in because his shoulder hasn't recovered fully from recent surgery. And that's the reason why he wore a coat at In Your House. And as we'll see on Raw, he wears a lovely sweater because he's got big surgery scars.
Ah, that's why.
Eric Bischoff did bring up Vader on Nitro, saying he ran away with his tail between his legs after Paul Orndorff got through with him, while also plugging the Baywatch episode filmed that summer with several WCW wrestlers, including Vader.
Bless him. For Raw this week, so I'm going to walk you through this week's episode of Monday Night Raw from February 19th, 1996. There was a dark match before all of this kicked off.
Ooh.
Did you spot this?
I did not.
The Observer writes, Herman the German was given a tryout at these tapings. Herman the German.
Pray tell, Tom, who is Herman the German?
This is German wrestling legend Ulf Herman.
Wow. Yeah, obviously Herman the German.
Yeah. But they're calling him Herman the German, which I think was a name he'd used elsewhere as well. So
yeah.
Herman the German. Last time you and I talked about Herman the German was when Ultimate Warrior had that comeback show in Europe in 1995.
Yeah.
When he wrestled Herman the German. That whole match is on YouTube, and it's fucking awful.
I think I could have guessed that.
Yeah, you could have guessed it.
Nothing on Ulf Herman, more on... Can't be asked, warrior in Germany.
I saw the video file was 25 minutes long. I thought, well, that's 20 minutes too long, yeah. Then.
4 minutes of entrance.
It depends how quickly he runs. Mm. So we don't see Herman the German, sadly, on WWF television. But there, and I wonder whether the timing is interesting, considering who does pop up tonight has connections with Herman the German.
Ooh.
Whether it was a favor, whether it was. you know, connected to that, which we'll talk about in a bit.
That's right, kids. It's Bracchus. No.
Oh, if
not
only.
Yet. Not yet.
We open with Sunny feeling herself up on the beach to open the show as a rip-off of Chris Isaac's Wicked Game plays in the background.
What a great song.
What a great song, isn't it?
What a great song.
It's a great radio song, that. We have a recap of In Your House, which leads to plugs for tonight's Raw, featuring Undertaker in action, Razor Ramon challenging Goldust for the IC title. They casually mention the Ultimate Warrior.
Speak to me, Warriors.
And they go, Larry Fling, almost live. That's later tonight on Raw.
Raw.
We have not had any mention of the Ultimate Warrior. I don't even think it In Your House.
No.
Which was 24 hours ago. Because yeah. I saw that, I thought, he says it so off the cuff, as if like, oh yeah, and as you know, the Ultimate Warrior.
One of the biggest stars of the 80s is back.
Yeah, and I just thought, was there an episode of Superstars that we missed? No, because literally the last WWF content we had was In Your House 24 hours before.
Yeah.
And nothing, unless I'm being really thick, nothing was mentioned about the Ultimate Warrior.
No, because the only thing we've touched upon is in observers leading up to this, there'd been rumblings that, ooh, Hellwig's coming back.
Yeah, but there's been like internal rumblings and dirt sheets and stuff talking about it, but nothing on television.
No.
And it's just, oh, by the way, the Ultimate Warrior. Okay. Is this a new Raw opening? Or have I not been paying attention?
I didn't notice. Because they're still using the... But later on, they do use the...
Oh, no, the music's the same.
Yeah.
But the video, it seems to make the show look bigger and badder.
Ooh,
in a good way. Colorized wrestlers with black and white backgrounds.
Okay. Yeah, because I should really pay attention, considering when they went back to this, they were showing clips of Roddy Piper, which haven't even been filmed yet. So,
which is weird time travel stuff. We open with Razor Ramon walking to the ring. He's taking on Goldust and looking to become the first ever five-time Intercontinental Champion, if he does so. Goldust gets jumped by Ramon before the bell, and Ramon's ripping off his robe. He nearly gets DQ'd when he goes to hit Goldust with the title. The ref stops him, so he dumps Goldust out of the ring with a clothesline instead. Back in the ring, Razor goes for a Razor's Edge dead early, but Goldust backdrops him out of the ring to stop the rot as we go into a break. Goldust in firm control during the break. We get a clip where we show Ramon getting back into the ring after the failed Razor's Edge and gets a running Oscar hip attack to knock him straight back out of the ring again. Mm. Not seen Goldust do that before.
No.
Pushes his butt straight into Ramon. He puts a sleeper on when Ramon enters the ring. Ramon mounts a comeback with a fallaway slam over the top rope.
Fucking insane spot.
That was incredible. I don't know how you protect yourself with that.
Yeah.
You just gotta cross all things and hope for the best.
And the fact that they didn't cut the camera, so Gold just disappears. It looked amazing.
Yeah, yeah, just chucked him right out of sight. Soon after this, Goldust recovers and he and Marlena make a run for it, taking the count out loss, as they've been doing, as you said, on the house shows. Mm. Ramon gets on the microphone post-match and says, Goldust, I don't want your belt, I want your ass. Okay. He takes aim at the great one from the glory days, Roddy Rowdy Piper. Ramon says, you've got six kids, Piper. I love the kids. And he appeals to Piper, who is a father of six, saying, I don't want my kids to watch this stuff on TV. Gesturing, gesticulating towards Goldust, who is backstage. He asks for a match with Goldust anywhere, anytime, and wants Piper to make the date. Now, as this is happening, and we're building to not only a tag team tournament match with Ramon and Salvio Vega, we're building to potentially a match at WrestleMania between him and Goldust. But all this is happening, and Razor Ramon, aka Scott Hall, not a happy camper right now.
Observer, based on the commentary, the impression was given Ramon doesn't care about the title, so it may be a non-title gimmick match at Mania, like perhaps a loser leaves town if Ramon decides to go to WCW, which is a distinct possibility right now.
Mm. More next week when we get there.
What do you think of the match?
I thought it was fine. It was very aggressive.
It was.
Like, really, like, from the bell, like, it was just... It felt like a grudge match.
It felt like Scott Hall taking his frustrations out, not Razor Ramon.
Oh, wow.
That's what I felt. Anyway, because I thought the booking of it was weird because Ramon battered Goldust. He battered the champion. Like you said, Goldust got a bit of a, you know, comeback. He had a sleeper and the bum attack and stuff, but he didn't really lay much of a glove on him. Yeah, I will say this, though. With the entrance, they are, again, they're adding layers to the Goldust character, and the entrance this week looked phenomenal with the gold glitter coming out of the sky and the spotlights. And, yeah, so I'm a big fan of the packet. I'm a big fan of the presentation of Goldust.
You're a big fan of Goldust package? Is what you're
there's
say,
nothing right? wrong with that, man. No,
absolutely
of the world.
Not. I was going to say.
Yeah, but yeah, you can tell Scott Hall's frustrated.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's some kinks that need to be ironed out.
And it's probably as well, like they were saying, oh, could he become the first time, five-time Intercontinental champion? He's probably thinking, fuck me, I've already had it four times. Yeah. Could I do something else?
I'd like to be the world champion, please.
Yeah.
Seems like, I think we've talked about this a few times, how like it seems such a no-brainer to make him a top guy.
Yeah.
But there is a weird reluctance from Vince to do that.
Yeah.
Which is strange because he would with Shawn Michaels on the ascend, like you could have made Ramon happy easily by going, I tell you what, Shawn's about to come champ, you're going to have a run with him.
A Shawn versus Razor world title feud.
A ladder match for the world title.
Yeah.
Be great. What a great story to tell. They fought for the IC title. They both progressed. They're both fighting for the world title in a ladder match.
But yeah.
It won't be to be, sadly.
Because as we'll see in a few years' time with Triple H and The Rock, I like it when feuds keep going up through levels.
They keep finding themselves, yeah. Like star-crossed lovers.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Backstage, Paul Bearer is coaxing The Undertaker out of his casket.
Branded casket.
Branded, rest in peace casket. So there's a bit of weird new lore to The Undertaker that becomes apparent during this show. That The Undertaker now lives in that casket. Whereas in not that long ago, it was established that he built caskets and had a warehouse where he worked. He had a burnt out old barn which he converted into somewhere you do DIY, like a garage,
like a workshed.
A workshed, yeah. He built it into a workshop where he made caskets.
Yeah.
But now, apparently, oh no, he just lives in a casket now.
So is this the, like, because obviously he's just the Undertaker. They don't refer to him yet as the dead man, do they? It's always been implied that he's a zombie, but is this the first time that they've basically shown, oh yeah, he's dead?
Oh yeah, he's definitely dead.
He's not alive.
Yeah, I think they've always alluded to it. I don't think they've ever said the dead man.
Mm.
I don't think.
Because that's still not... Yeah, we are still in the new generation here and saying, oh, this fella's dead. That's not very new generation, is it?
Maybe the workshop is in the casket. Maybe the casket is like the TARDIS.
Ooh.
So it just changes size.
I like that.
So it's bigger on the inside. And then goes through and it's the workshop. That's a nice thought. Maybe that's what they're doing. Doc Hendricks is flogging one-size-fits-all sweatshirts. Bullshit. Before we cut to Doc Hendricks at the Raw Band stage, talking through still highlights of In Your House 6.
And they're playing the abandoned Raw theme. That's what the Raw Band are playing. They're playing the wrong theme.
Big shout to Jim Johnson, who you can see on guitar.
You can.
Sat at the back, just jamming. He's cut off as he's talking about Bulldog's match, which is what I was furious about. as Vader stomps to the ring wearing a lovely black tracksuit.
Oh, it's great.
It's kind of lockdown chic that he's wearing. Because when we came out of the first lockdown, everybody was wearing like joggers and those big jumpers. They became vogue for a while. And Vader looks like he's been working from home for 6 months.
But still has the mask on.
All
business, big fan Vader.
Vader stomps to the ring with Jim Cornette trailing behind him. Barry Horowitz and Aldo Montoya already in the ring. They're set to face the Body Donners because of reasons. Body Donners don't get out there, but unfortunately Horowitz and Aldo already out there take a shoo-in by Vader. Vader does a whopper chokeslam that almost turns Montoya inside out. The crumple physics on Aldo Montoya.
Yeah. So Aldo Montoya here, he's either selling like death or the jig got messed up because he kind of lands on his shoulder and he's just like, oh, fucking hell. And even the ref's checking on like, you all right? And he's like, oh, I don't know.
I feel like he landed badly on his shoulder because then what we saw Barry, Horowitz get beaten up, getting flattened by a punch and then thrown out of the ring.
Mm.
And then he went over to Aldo Montoya, gave him a punch, and then just left him. I thought it would have made sense of Vader to whoop him out of the ring, which made me think maybe Aldo, there's a concern that Aldo's legit injured.
Yeah.
And the last thing you want to do when you're injured is take a flying bump over the top rope. It's where they just punched him and let him just roll out of the ring.
Yeah.
Just felt a bit stunted.
But it was the first thing I noticed as soon as he took the choke. I was like, ooh, that didn't look right.
Yeah, he just almost went upside down.
Yeah.
Like, he put some stank on it, did Vader. And then Vader stands on the top rope to celebrate. Who's the man? We even get a who's the man shout from Vader.
Fucking man.
We like Vader, don't we? Now he's in the company and potentially doing that plus New Japan.
Yeah.
That's a bit of a precedent setter, isn't it?
Yeah, he's great.
Mm.
I love him.
I like him here.
Yeah.
Vince McMahon is like questioning what Roddy Piper's up to. Let's find out. Cut to a video package of the Ultimate Warrior. Classic clips of Warrior shaking the ropes, running to the ring, press slamming people. A little bit of Warrior wisdom on the promo as well. And then that's it. With no mention of why we're seeing this, or how, or where, or when, or just a video package for the Ultimate Warrior.
So, the Wrestling Observer.
What do we know, Jackins? What do we know?
After a false start in December 95, WWF once again unleashed the Ultimate Warrior's return with a promo piece. Helwig and McMahon were negotiating in December, but it fell through, reportedly due to money disagreements, surprise, surprise, as well as Warrior reportedly wanting to use a testosterone patch, which, while legal, would render the basics of the WWF steroid policy as practically worthless. He's noted here, they've been, both companies, WWF and WCW, have been bringing back 80s stars. So Piper's back, Road Warriors and Miss Elizabeth in WCW, Jake Roberts has just come back. The return of Warrior, and it should be mentioned that it was never directly said that he was returning. It would also be ironic and hypocritical, coming on the heels of Titan, pointing the finger on television at WCW on the subject of steroids and threatening to expose them more in the future. So, yeah, he's just going on about the WWF steroid policy and saying, yeah, it's the Ultimate Warrior. He's saying he is steroids, basically. So.
It is. There is something dubious about spending weeks going, hey, Bernard Ted, look out, shareholders. He's giving all his wrestlers steroids. March that. Anyway, in unrelated news, the Ultimate Warrior's coming back. It's steroid Roidy Magoo is returning to the WWF.
But he is, to give him his credit, I'm not saying that he wasn't on the gas, but he wasn't on as much gas because he does come back as a more svelte warrior.
He comes back looking different enough for people to start rumours that he died.
Yeah.
And this was a replacement man.
Yeah.
This was John Bobson.
It's like, that's clearly the Ultimate Warrior. He's just, yeah, he's a bit smaller and he's got different hair.
Isn't that, but this is the weird power of early internet here, where that rumour really caught fire,
yeah,
didn't it? That he's, yeah. Oh. And I think because he was wearing a singlet with had muscles spray painted on it.
Yeah.
Made everybody think, ah, oh, it's all a different warrior.
And when he turns up in his cap for one time only as well. Can't wait for that.
Oh,
I can't.
Bring that on.
Even though it's going to be bollocks, I can't wait for this Ultimate Warrior run.
It's a bollocks warrior run.
Of course it is.
I, for one, am here for it.
It's a post-prime warrior run. It's going to be shit.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
We get a plug for WrestleMania 12 coming from the home of the stars, California. Last year, all the stars came to WrestleMania. This year, WrestleMania goes to the stars is kind of the theme.
Yeah.
You know, we'll come to you this time. Don't worry. Then Sunny touches herself and sings Happy Birthday, Mr. Smithers.
ruined it.
Mr. Smithers. It's aww. President's Day in America, so she's singing Happy Birthday, Mr. President, and having a little glass of fizz whilst in her underwear. So
Bill Clinton shining a saxophone in the White House.
Of course he is. Yeah. Dirty boy. And he's touching his knob.
Dirty boy.
As that's happening, Bob Backlund is in the crowd. Jerry Lawler suggests he's possibly challenging Bob Dole to a match. Bob Dole running for president this year. As he's doing that, Marty Jannetty makes his entrance for a match against the Ringmaster.
Good hand.
In the mid-card. I thought, if you're watching on the video version, Jatkins grabbed his hand with his other hand to insinuate good hand in the mid card. Or if you're a fan of a certain vintage, Baron von Raschke.
That is all the people need to know.
Baron von Jatkins.
I was so happy when he turned up at AEW last year. I was just like, Baron von Clover bastard.
It's great because you go, who's that? And then all he does is go, you go, oh, it's you!
And everyone in the crowd just goes,
Baron Raschke! Yes. The claw, the claw. Love Baron von Raschke, more of that. What a great finish. Just put your hand on his head.
Yeah. Works for the Von Erichs as well.
Exactly. Yeah. If I was a wrestler, I would want to learn a finisher that I could do forever that didn't really hurt me too much. The RKO, obviously, that's, you know, he's a debt has been collected on that with his back. Well, I mean, Randy Keith.
Look at Mick Foley. He can barely walk, but he can still put a mandible claw on a bastard.
Exactly. Right. Hulk Hogan ain't doing a leg drop. This side of eternity.
Eternity.
He-Man's getting a leg drop. He-Man, which is how British Bulldog refers to most men. He-Man.
Who ate my sandwich?
He-Man.
He-Man.
Oh, look at it. He's got salad cream on his chin.
Oh, I'll have that in a minute. He dripped coleslaw on my shoes, the bastard. Coleslaw king.
Cleans off your shoes dead quick.
Oh, it's got a shoe buff.
Well, I've got a shoe buff. Did I tell you when I did the watch-along for Slammiversary about 3 weeks ago, somebody left a comment saying, watching Tom and Cultaholic is a bit like trying to watch the MCU. You have to watch everything to know all the references. And I have, which is why, like, I think it was when I was midway through Slammiversary doing an episode of That's Gotta Be Kane, which people were like, this is great. And some people were like, what's going on? Has he gone down a path?
Well, it was even for us when we did the Kane Miss Carol at Christmas. Me. Yourself, Sam Driver and Matthew.
Griggles.
And the three of us were all reading each other's things like, I don't get this reference. And then Matthew would be like, that's one of mine. And then Sam would be like, that's one of mine. And I'd be like, that's one of mine. So
I feel like a conjurer. I feel like a puppeteer. Like, I'm writing all these references going, you'll get that, you'll get that, you'll get that. I'm like leading an orchestra. We got a good hand in the mid-card taking on Marty Jannetty from the Rockers that time. Ringmaster has shaved his head and is growing his goatee.
And he's wearing black trunks.
Black trunks as well.
And Vince McMahon says, you talk about a stone cold man. He's fucking coming.
Talk about a chilly McFreeze, man. Vince McMahon also says, as well as referring to him as stone cold, a stone cold person, he says that he has all the tools to take him straight to the top. Lawler says he's heard that Marty Jannetty has found a tag team partner for the upcoming tag tournament and they will call themselves the New Rockers, which Dave has obviously mentioned in the Observer.
Yeah.
Now, this is weird because this is a time where, because Jerry Lawler had been doing this thing with his sources. And the joke was the sources were always wrong.
Yeah.
But this source is Bob on. Because the same source will tell Jerry Lawler that Ultimate Warrior is now 400 pounds and bald in the weeks to come. But the running joke is that Jerry Lawler's sources are shit. But this one, it was spot on.
Is that a swipe, like a subtle swipe at Mean Gene? about the sources being wrong.
I don't know if it's a swipe. I think it's more just a cute play on like, you know, dirt sheets in that sort of culture with Jerry Lawler saying, oh, I've got my sources and the sources are always wrong.
Yeah.
I think it's a sort of little dig on that. I don't think it's a direct shot fired at Scheme Gene.
Because even though they've been, like you said, the Scheme Gene stuff, but all the boys in the back are just like, fucking fair play, Gene. Get that money.
Yeah, make that dollar, mate. Yeah. Jeez. If I could set up a phone line where I just said people, here's the bollocks that's happening in wrestling.
And didn't he negotiate something to get a percentage of all the...
Oh, yeah.
He could have retired 10 times over from that phone line.
He just chose not to.
Yeah.
Or maybe he spent it all on hookers. Who knows? I'd hope he did. Go on, Gene. Marty Jannetty mounts some offense on Ringmaster with a drop kick, but Master comes back with a stun gun, which I think was a finisher for a while in Dub. Yeah. Ringmaster wears down Jannetty with an STF, an evil glint in his eye the whole time. Jannetty attempts a comeback, but Ringmaster counters a back suplex with backdrop with a $1 million dream for the eventual submission win. Took a while for Jannetty to tap out. And Vince McMahon, as you say, says, look in those eyes, stone cold this man is. Like, he hasn't been called that yet either.
No. I think this is only his second match on Raw.
I think it might be, yeah.
Yeah.
I think maybe the third appearance or fourth appearance, definitely the second match. What did you think of it?
It was a bit awkward. I don't think the two really had great chemistry together. And it's really odd in hindsight watching Austin, WWF Austin wrestle a very technically sound match. Because of injuries, he'd just become King of the Brawlers, wouldn't he?
Yeah.
So to see him putting in STFs and transitioning from submission to submission like Brian Danielson was weird. But fine, did his job, good win. Jannetty is really... They were pushing him for a while and he was getting lots of screen time and they just went, he's Marty Jannetty. So they kind of fucked
him. They remembered he was Marty Jannetty.
There was an interesting bit in The Observer that I didn't put in, and basically Meltzer was going mad saying, they've gotten rid of all the charisma of Austin. You know, the other week when he was saying, touch the screen and I'll be there. And now he's like, ugh. It's like...
He was very angry about the lack of charisma on Steve Austin.
Like, don't worry, Dave. It'll all work out.
It'll all be fine. Into other characters, it'll all be fine with. We cut to a cave or maybe a cellar. Possibly a cellar.
Possibly.
Where we have the crumpled up body of Mankind sat in the corner rocking back and forth. He says, on the eighth day, God created mankind. Why was he having such a bad day when he made me? He made the teeth that I swallowed, the ear that was ripped from my skull, a face that no longer exists, fingers that no longer make the music. He was a gorgeous pianist, which was part of the backstory of mankind. He used to play the piano for his mother, and then he got his fingers gnarled, and he couldn't play anymore, and he was cast out.
Oh.
That's the part of the story. You think you're normal. The ugliness that lives outside lives in each and every one of you. On the eighth day, God created me. Maybe he should have slept that day too, and then gives a long, wheezy cry. Whoa!
So fucking creepy.
It's good, isn't it?
It's great.
Oh.
I never knew that backstory of the piano.
He alluded to it in a very early promo. He was I play for my mother and make beautiful music. And then something happened with his fingers, whether he got them caught in the piano or whatever. And I think that was what led to him being cast out.
Because I've read Foley's first book so many times. And obviously, when Mankind first comes, he's got the creepy intro music, but has the soft piano music when he exits. So perhaps
that alludes to it.
Because he always said he wanted the vibe for the bit in, is it Silence of the Lambs, after Lecter's battered some guards and he's just there conducting as soft music plays. And I thought it was really effective, but that's added another layer to the onion.
It's a nice subtle bit that I'm glad happened.
Yeah.
Where you don't get wrestlers that have two sets of music.
No.
Do you? So no. I quite like that Mankind had that. There's a little extra. It's almost something that's too subtle for what WWE would do now.
Yeah.
Like they more like just to hit you over the head with stuff now rather than add little layers of deepness. And that's how they roll, and that's fine.
Yeah. It works, doesn't it?
I mean, the WWE, I think we said before, WWE is kind of designed now for people to sort of punch in and punch out of as and when.
Yeah.
Like there's no reward for watching long term. I mean, there's some, but more often than not, it's, you know, big gimmicky pay-per-views, big shock surprise wins, in and out. And again, I'm not saying this is a dig. That's just how they program. And I enjoy quite a bit of what they do, regardless of that. It's not a dig. I know AEW kind of dabbles more in sort of longer storytelling where they can.
Yeah.
Not always brilliantly, but they certainly do.
There's no such thing as a perfect wrestling company.
No.
So, and like I've said many times, I've dipped in and out of WWF/WWE for the best part of 30 years now. So I'm on an off cycle. I'll soon be probably back on an on cycle. Like you said, it's the nature of it where you can just jump back in. It's fine.
It is the nature of the beast. Mm. We get a plug for the 1996 Slammy Awards.
Yay!
And then we get a short video to build Yokozuna's return next week against the British Bulldog and Owen Hart in a handicap match next week.
That'll be good.
Plus, Diesel will be in action next week, and we're getting Jake the Snake Roberts in action, and words from Shawn Michaels and Bret Hart.
Wonderful.
Busy night next week. Jake Roberts competing next week will start to set the table for his WrestleMania match.
Yes. I just had to remember what it was then.
Yes. But we'll touch on that next week, I reckon. Plug for the 1996 Slammy Awards. We did that. And then the Raw thing. And then we come to our main event of the evening. It is The Undertaker versus... Oh, Tatanka!
I remember him.
Forgot about him. Tatanka with Ted DiBiase in his corner comes out. And Undertaker comes out. Undertaker has left the casket for this match. And it is reminded once again by Jerry Lawler that the casket is Undertaker's home. So that is canon now.
So do the ring crew just load that into the vans after a show and just like, take us in there, leave some crisps nearby if you get hungry in the night.
I like to think that they put it on wheels and Paul Bearer just pulls it along on a rickshaw. That's a nice little image. He made the mistake one day of taking it outside, opening the door too soon, and took a dash off into a hedge and under a fence. He was gone for 10 hours.
Just imagine there, all like 6'10" of him, just like,
oh. Come on, boy.
Oh. Do you want a chicken sandwich?
Oh, maybe.
What's he doing in the hedge?
Bye. Tatanka attempts to chop. It has zero effect. However, an end of the trail also does. They don't call it that anymore, but the Samoan drop that Tatanka did in that match about 20 seconds in was his finish.
Yeah.
The end of the trail. He does it, and it has a bit more of an effect. But as he's done it, and as everyone's on the ground, Diesel comes out to the ring with an axe. Not the body spray in America. Why do they call it axe and not links in America?
I don't know. Weird. There's often, I think it was called, I think it's originally called axe in France as well.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh, are we just weird then?
I think we might be. Like the film Zootopia in America was Zootropolis in Britain, which doesn't work as a pun.
Yeah,
but Zootopia does.
Yeah.
Weird.
Why do we do that? It's like Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone and Harry Potter and the Philosopher's Stone.
Yeah, because didn't he just really insult them to Americans? Sorry to our American fans and friends out there.
But you're fucking idiots.
That's basically what they thought. They were like, oh, American kids won't know what a philosopher is. Let's turn it into a sorcerer instead.
Incidentally, I'd like to let you in on how my brain loaded just then, because I'm a bit tired today. I nearly said, and I stopped myself, I nearly said Harry Enfield and the Philosopher's Stone. John! Harry Enfield and the Philosopher's Stone.
Hello to my mate AJ, because that's all we ever do. We just go...
Just the Harry Enfield shrug at the start of Harry Enfield's television program. It's on Netflix now.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Has it aged well?
I doubt it. Mm. But it was part of our childhood. Mm. I seem to remember there was a character in it called Fat Bloke who just kept popping up. Oh, Fat Bloke! Which I'm sure has aged wonderfully. Diesel's out with the axe body spray. He grabs the cameraman and drags him backstage with him.
Although it was quite weird because he grabs a cameraman and rather than showing the cameraman's perspective, another cameraman just follows them filming
it. Yeah, I'd have filmed it from the cameraman's perspective. That'd have been cute. It'd be like you'd be in Doom. After the break, we get picture in picture as Undertaker and Tatanka are having a middle of the road match. Diesel is obliterating the casket with an axe. That casket is the Undertaker's home, says Jerry Lawler.
And they didn't light it, so you can barely see what's going on.
Yeah, you can't see a Scooby-Doo half the time. After the match, Undertaker wins with a chokeslam and a tombstone. And then he heads backstage where he finally sees Diesel destroying his home via the big screen. He can't. By the time he gets back there, Diesel's gone.
Mm.
But his home is a mess. We'll touch on that again in a bit. What are your thoughts on Undertaker versus Tatanka?
As I've got written here, who cares about the match? It was just an angle, wasn't it? Yeah. But this feud between Taker and Diesel has been building really, it's built really well.
Yes.
It was simmering for a while and Diesel being like, oh, could be a bit of a prick, could be sound, wear a glove, say hello. Obviously, the ending to In Your House where Taker comes through the ring, he's like, get here, you big bollocks. And now
he said that as well, watch it back.
If you should see his lips.
Get here, you big bollocks.
And I thought Nash looked cool as shit when he just like sorted out with an axe and you're like, oh, he might twat a bastard. So it's, like I said, the match was unimportant. It's a shame that it had to be Tatanka who, you know, took the loss, but...
Oh no, how that's ruined all that hope for the future.
I like Tatanka. He's a serviceable lower card guy.
Yeah, Chris Chavis is always just kind of in the guy that will just... Yeah. He can float... Like, it was the ill-fated main event push for Tatanka. Oh, yeah. That will always stay with me. He's our top guy. He's not. The true main event of the evening is up next. So the billionaire Ted skits continue to roll on. This is WWF poking fun at Ted Turner. Recently, Ted Turner had appeared on Larry King Live for a chat on CNN. So WWF saw fit to parody this with Larry Fling Live. Now, the role of Larry Fling, I couldn't find any details on. I'm assuming this is another WWF backstage team member.
Yeah.
Let us know if you know any more on that. That'd be grand. Fling says hello to all his kids, wives and mistresses, and his masseuse before the interview starts. Fling and Ted and billionaire Ted both agree that In Your House was really good. Fling watched it with Robert De Niro.
I like the fact, I've said this week in, week out, the guy playing Ted, he's got a good comedic face. He looks gormless as fuck. And I was actually sat there chuckling at him, just like,
I'm a wrestler. They take calls. The first call is Randy is Sarasota, who wants to talk about his thinning hair. And they cut him off. Then we get a call from Terry from Tampa asking billionaire, which to billionaire Ted goes, it's the Hogster. Terry says, can I have Monday off, please? I got hit with a size 7 shoe. I believe this is to do with, I believe a fan threw a shoe at him. I think this is a real thing that happened. I think this is to do with a real thing that happened that they're lampooning. At this point, sort of Hulk Hogan was going through some lawsuit stuff with a fan on the WCW side of things. Let me see if I can pull up my notes from the classic SmackDown review that might add a few more notes to.
Because, yeah, obviously, I don't know what the timeline is of WCW at this point. But I just assumed it was, because obviously when you had Woman with the Four Horsemen and Elizabeth, woman, they were just always twatting people with shoes, but it's probably a bit too early before that turn, isn't it?
Yeah, the lawsuit in itself, Terry Bollea filed a lawsuit against a Minneapolis woman and her attorney, charging them with extortion. Bollea is suing Peter Johnson of the Minneapolis law firm Johnson & Wood and Kate Kennedy, claiming that on the 24th of December, Johnson sent a letter to Bollea at his home in Clearwater, Florida, on behalf of Kennedy. The legal papers claim that the defendant attempted to extort money from Bollea by accusing him of engaging in criminal conduct and threatening him with criminal prosecution. The letter enclosed copies of Minnesota criminal statutes in which they claim were applicable to Bollea, describing mandatory imprisonment penalties and claimed would be applicable upon a conviction of Bollea, as well as threatened to bring a lawsuit against Bollea worth millions of dollars. The letter expressed a willingness to settle the complaint if they would contact Johnson by Christmas Day. The letter threatened to file a police report and seek criminal charges as well. They file the lawsuit and the lawsuit does not settle. The lawsuit claims the allegations in the letter were false and that the letter, being extortion, itself qualified as a criminal act. John Wood was quoted saying the letter dealt with claims against Hulk Hogan for reprehensible conduct of a sexual nature that went well beyond harassment. When she made an effort to resolve the claim without going public, they characterized it as extortion and proceeded to sue. Kennedy is believed to have worked in Hogan's public relations for the Hulk Hogan's Pasta Mania Mall restaurant at the Mall of America that Hogan had ownership interest in. Whatever is alleged to have happened, believed to have taken place on the 4th of September, 1995, the night WCW taped its first night show at the Mall. The story widely reported in Minneapolis, and a wide service, even less details, the USA Today piece, ran numerous newspapers on Saturday. The tabloid television show A Current Affair is believed to be working on a piece regarding the story. Hogan acknowledged the incident in a roundabout way in an interview on WCW Saturday Night, saying he was willing to match stories with anyone, whether they be in Las Vegas, New York, or in Minneapolis. Now, nothing about a shoe, I'm afraid.
But I just like the law firm of Johnson & Wood.
Yeah. Penis law. I'm sure there's some realness in that.
Yeah.
Next phone call comes from Jane from Hanoi, who says Ted's suits are ready.
Yeah, suggest that he gets them off the rack at Sears. That's just Vince McMahon be like, your suit shit.
Yeah, and by the way, your suits are crap as well. They stop taking calls, and Fling says that Ted has refused to talk to the media, even the media that he owns, about his alleged personal vendetta and monopolistic activities against the WWF, and how losses in WCW aren't reported to shareholders, even claiming that the Huckster's wages are paid through other divisions of Turner. As he's saying this, Fling is asking Ted to respond, and Ted is sweating, drinking water, fanning himself, looking uncomfortable. At one point, Fling asks Ted to comment on the Wall Street Journal investigation, which he suddenly realizes he can't talk due to what he and Fling both agree is a legitimate case of chronic laryngitis. How fucking funny to see on WWF television them taking the piss out of billionaire's head for not responding to a Wall Street Journal investigation. Hey,
got him.
Got him! The Huckster and the Nacho Man will be on Larry Fling Almost Live next week to discuss their geriatric match at WrestleMania 12. Oh, I'll be the referee for that, says Ted, before remembering that he has laryngitis and can't answer any more questions. That was Larry Fling Almost Live with Billionaire Ted.
Yay!
What did you think of this latest installment of Here's some in-joke shit because I don't like you.
That's right. Yeah. It was not the best one. It went a bit long. But I do like Ted himself. I think he's great.
He's very good.
As in the fake Ted, not like the real Ted Turner. I have no thoughts on Ted Turner. But this parody of Ted Turner is great.
Enjoying the pettiness of these sketches.
It is just.
We've only got them for a few more weeks, so enjoy them while you can.
Oh, I will.
Payoff is coming at WrestleMania 12. So, yeah, so we mentioned this the other week. So, Huckster versus Nacho Man will take place on the pre-show of WrestleMania 12, because if they put it on the main show, then there's a lot of legal issues that come from that, because they'd be technically saying, well, buy the pay-per-view to see WCW stars.
Yeah.
That's what could be claimed, but by putting it on a free show, they get around it.
And the amount of people who might misread Huckster and Nacho Man and be like, Huckster versus the Macho Man. Here's my money.
Yeah. So doing it for free gets you out of that. And also, in another weird way, it's another weird burial.
Yeah.
Putting it on the free view.
Yeah.
First of the show. Final time we come back for the night, and Undertaker and Paul Bearer are backstage. They are heartbroken at the destruction of the Undertaker's home.
Well, Paul Bearer is. He looks like he's about to fucking cry.
Because Paul's like, he's going to sleep on my couch again.
Oh no. I left some super noodles in there. I was going to have them for my dinner. Dear everyone. Oh, dear everyone. Kev's smashed up your casket.
Oh, a little fucker.
David, dear fucking living.
Donald, man, when I find him, I'll wring his neck. I will.
I'm going to put you right in the bollocks. I fucking hate that Kev, man. He's destroyed your home.
Oh, my home.
Don't worry, Undertaker. You can't sleep on my sofa.
Would you like a pink wafer?
Don't worry. I'll get the Z-bed out. You can sleep on... It's a fold-up mattress. You can sleep on there until we build you a new home.
He doesn't live in a casket. He makes caskets. Why have we suddenly decided that the Undertaker's a vampire?
Where does Paul Bearer live?
I live next door. I live inside the rickshaw that carries it around.
I hate the fact they've just gone, Undertaker lives in a casket. He's not a fucking vampire.
Yeah.
He's an undead woodsman. he's an undead craftsman.
He's just a big, miserable bastard.
Yeah. And you don't live in a casket.
Exactly. I sleep in a lovely bed.
Exactly. Paul Bearer declaring that Diesel will indeed pay for this. I thought the feud was fine without having to claim that Diesel's destroyed Undertaker's home.
Yeah.
It's the second time that a WrestleMania match has been built up by having a home destroyed.
What was the first one?
Triple H and Randy Orton.
Oh, I thought you meant this is the second one at that time.
No,
I
was like, second home that's been destroyed.
Oh, God, yeah. Hunter the McMahon family avenger. Jesus.
I kind of like the idea of they missed the trick with this. Of Diesel going up to Undertaker's casket and going, oh, I'm going to go in there and destroy it. And as he walks in, like, it opens, it's like Narnia. You know that bit from The Young Ones?
Oh, yeah.
When he goes through and it's all white and there's the woman on the horse. And says to Vivian, have some Turkish delight, my child. You got any kebabs? I want that scene.
Oh no, one of Vivian's socks has escaped.
I want that inside the casket. What do we think of Raw this week?
What I've got written here, in terms of episodic nature, it was good. So as like an episode, you're like, this is going to happen, this is going to happen. Brilliant. We're full steam ahead going to WrestleMania. The build for Razor and Goldust, Diesel and Taker and Vader, they're all really good. But in ring, nothing to write home about.
Nothing, you're not feeling.
The matches weren't important this week, really.
No.
But in terms, like I said, in terms of a build, it's got our interest. It's got mine anyway. And then next week, you got what? Brett and Sean having a little powwow. So, what about you?
I enjoyed it. I thought that the Razor Goldust thing was a bit of a nothing, but it seems to be building towards a thing.
Yeah.
Which is good. Nice to see Ringmaster back in there again. I thought the in-ring stuff wasn't great, but like you say, that sort of episodic nature building towards it. I'm perversely intrigued.
Yeah.
By the return of the Ultimate Warrior. We won't see him on telly until WrestleMania itself.
Ooh.
Perversely intrigued.
I wonder what poor Sod will end up facing him.
Fine. Actually, we find out next week.
Because
it's in the Observer. The Observer leaks it like weeks before. Yeah. So we find out next week. You'll find out too. And some other stuff regarding another member of the clique.
So it's a member of the clique.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if they'll craft a golden shovel in anger.
What are you working on this week?
So I'm still doing a big project. I'm just going to come out and say what it is because it's driving me insane. I'm ranking every single manager in WWF history. But because what constitutes a manager or not is kind of gray area. So it's every manager, it's every bodyguard, it's every image consultant, it's every enforcer, blah, 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 blah. Because as I was putting
every doctor of style?
Yeah.
Okay, just checking.
Because as I was putting it together, I just went, what does China count as? Because it was like, you can't do this list without China, but if you put in China, then you've got to put in Diesel and you've got to put in Sid. So it's just every...
This tree's just been growing and growing and growing.
Yeah, so...
So what number are we up to now?
So I'm about 137. I work from the shit to the good. So I'm at like 137 out of about 200. And every day, you've seen me for weeks just going, oh, I've added another fucking three.
Yeah. You'll lie in bed at night and your good lady will go, he doesn't pay attention. I wonder what he's thinking of. And you'll be lying in bed going, Muffy, fuck.
Well, yeah, I went through a video. I went through one of the Cultaholic videos and reminded of Muffy, put that in. I was home the other week and I was talking to my cousin about it. And he was like, oh, have you got... Axe, when Demolition became like a threesome and he just kind of stood to the side and went, fuck, I've not got Axe. So then
I tell you what, it reminds me of. You watched Blackadder.
Yeah.
You know the episode where they have Dr. Johnson and it's Robbie Coltrane who invented the dictionary.
Yeah.
And so Rowan Atkinson's catching him out by saying loads of long words and he's writing them down very quickly. And then at the end of the episode, when they give him back his dictionary and he says, and Baldrick's written a book. And he goes, there was a sausage called Baldrick. Sausage? No! He hadn't put sausage in. And I feel like that's every time someone goes, oh, Paul Ellery.
Yeah, so...
That's a hell of a list.
That's going to take me most of the rest of the year. I've not been told to keep it secret. I was with the WrestleMania one, so I always just work under secrecy. I'm just like, when it comes out, you'll see. And if it's a big bastard, it's usually mine. But because
it's taken
that long...
So you have been given clearance to...
Well, I've not been told to keep it stum. And like I said, it's probably going to be fucking ages till this comes out, so...
Yeah, so there's no harm in... mentioning it now.
What are you working on this week apart from hopefully getting some rest?
Oh, I might get a little bit of a sleep somewhere. I haven't decided yet. New Desert Island Graps on Wednesday, all being well, featuring Francesco Akira.
Very nice.
New Japan Junior Heavyweight Tag Team Champion at the moment. So I'm excited to have a chat with him. We've not recorded that yet. We're recording that tomorrow. Excited to have a chat with him. What else is happening this week?
We are, it's fine.
Both is happening tomorrow. It's fine. I've scheduled for both.
Yeah.
We're all good.
We're playing catch up, so tomorrow we'll probably be in the same outfits.
Yeah, so tomorrow we're doing another episode of the Classic Raw review that we're recording tomorrow.
Yeah.
That's coming out next week. So I'll do that before I chat to Francesco Aguirre. Mm-hmm. I'm also getting Eric Stevens on.
I know the name.
ROH legend Eric Stevens.
Yes.
So he's coming on for a chat. I don't think he does many interviews. So no. I'm a family chat with Eric Stevens. So that'll be fun. What else am I working on this week? Desperate to get back on Twitch. I haven't done anything on Twitch for about a week or two. So we'll probably get back together on Thursday and do some stuff on Twitch. That'll be fun.
And with Tom, you never know what that's going to be because we literally don't know in the office until he's like, oh, I'm going to saw a dog in half. I'm like, great, Tom.
Advice to not saw dogs in half on streams anymore. Apparently people don't like it. But for the latest on everything, you can subscribe to the podcast already. Hopefully if you're hearing this, so thank you for doing that. And you can check out coldtoholic.com for the latest wrestling news throughout the day, every day. And until we are next back together, he is at Brat_Atkins on Twitter. I'm at Tom Campbell on Twitter. Together! We're at Coldaholic on Twitter. Don't forget to join us. Don't walk your cat, for fuck's sake. Without a harness.
I mean, I'm going to bin my harness when I go home. Louis' harness.
I haven't asked how Louis is.
He's all right. He was looking very just like upset yesterday. So I filmed it and put it to Radiohead.
Oh, bless him.
But he's been a bit of an arsehole recently. He's been waking up dead early and just going, and Sean's been just shooting him with a water pistol saying, just go to sleep, fuck off. And Poppy's been curled up next to me going, hello. I'm like, hi, Poppy.
You're all right, not Louis.
Yeah.
Does the water pistol thing work?
Well, it does. That he runs off, but he strolls back in 2 minutes later saying, ah, see, that water pistol's not there. I'm going to play the bollocks. And it's just... He doesn't learn. If you square Poppy, she goes, right, sound, I'm getting out of here. But if you square him, he just comes back 2 minutes later and pushes his luck again. So he's all right, yeah. Good. They're both all right. They're great cats.
Good.
Yeah.
Love you, bye!
Bye!
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
For all the wrestling headlines in just 10 minutes, search Cultaholic Wrestling News on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from.